Yes, indeed. We're fired up, and the fire is it's getting hot in the kitchen, needless to say. Larry, you're still with us? Larry in Florida?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you were going to say just this morning you saw something?
Okay. Yeah, I'll make one last point and then get off the line. Yes, just this morning in our local paper, they had the Florida Attorney General's an article about he came out with his hate crime report for 2005, I think
mm-hmm.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got my curiosity aroused, so I got online and spent about an hour poking around at that subject. And, you know, when all these hate crime bills, you know, the various states and everybody came up with these things over the years, they definitely had, you know, the Aryan nations and all them guys, the neo-Nazis and the Klan, they had those people in mind when they crafted these laws. Well, you know, talk about unintended consequences. Almost all of the so-called hate crimes, the actual, you know, ones that actually got in the, mm-hmm. In the report, almost all of them were black on white attacks. In St. Petersburg, there was an uproar. The blacks rioted back in 2004 and were throwing things and attacking passing white motorists. So that really boosted St. Petersburg, Florida, became like the hate crime capital of the world just because of all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unintended consequences, and I'm not even sure they got any neo-Nazis in the net with these things. But they got poor guys like Ernst Zundel and David Irving and, you know, and of course we need to expose who's doing it. And my particular favorite thing to do is download flyers. And on weekends, out I go with a big bundle of flyers, and they show up all over the place. And now that I know that Reverend Pike has got something I can download on his site, I'll be visiting there and downloading some of his stuff.
Very good. Thank you, Larry, for that update. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. You bet. Bye now.
Well, you know, the goal here, Ted, I guess, is that if you make enough noise, and, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And one thing the ADL has always feared was exposure on these issues, which they have been trying to push through as a stealth issue, right?
Exactly. You know, it's very interesting. In Canada, the ADL was able to pass their bill, as I've said, in 1971. But when I was making my hate crimes video around turn of the century in 2001 or so, the ADL was still very, very nervous in Canada that they not go forward too fast, mm-hmm. lest there be a national upheaval of protest and the whole hate bill be thrown out, mm-hmm. even after 30 years of enforcement there in Canada. And also I should mention that when we were able to really bloody the nose of the ADL after they arrested those 11 Christians in Philadelphia in 2004, that following winter, they were very, very timid, and they were walking on eggshells about reintroducing the federal hate bill. They did it very quietly. They did it secretly. They had no television cameras, no speeches by Kennedy and Gordon Smith and
uh-huh.
so on.
Uh-huh.
They were thrown back. Now, some people say, well, the ADL is so big, so powerful, so arrogant that they won't be fazed by public opinion. But I disagree. Uh-huh. I believe they have an agenda, and they are ratcheting it forward. But if they go ahead too fast, like they did in Philadelphia, too aggressively, mm-hmm. they can experience a real backlash.
No, they do fear the light. And going back to when Jesus was confronting them, he said, "Why do you come out at night against me?
Yes.
I sat preaching in the temple during the day. If
exactly.
I have committed crimes, what was the big deal? You should have gotten me then."
Yes.
You see, because their deeds are wicked and they know it. All right, we'll be right back. More calls. Bob in Missouri. There's a line available right now for Ted Pike. Get on the line now, 800-313-9443. Rick Adams will continue. We are back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Pike, our guest, www.truthtellers.org is the website. And let's take another call, 800-313-9443. Bob in Missouri. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, Rick?
Yes, you're on with Ted Pike.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say, Ted, you mentioned, I guess, assuming that Bush is a goyim, but he's a cousin, it turns out, of Kerry. Kerry definitely does have Jewish links because his father was Jewish and his grandfather was, and he became Catholic.
Uh-huh.
So really there is a big link there. And if you think about it, I'd be very curious to know as to who in the last election, presidential election, was there anyone that was non-Jewish? Look at it, though. Tell me anybody that wasn't, seeing that Bush is the cousin, that's a fact, of John Kerry, who is Jewish.
Yeah.
Was there anybody in that presidential election who was not Jewish? That's kind of scary right there, and that makes me very angry, okay? Especially that means that the media, if you had even an Irish, look at what the big deal they made, that an Irish Catholic named Kennedy was there, okay, and come out and say that there is no choice besides Judaism. Or not even, they're not Jewish anyway, they're communist. That shows you the sad straits of this country. There should be an immediate revolution on account of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't go for the thing of just calling up Congress and trying to stamp out little fires, the ADL says. You should get on the Congress and say, this is the enemy of this country. And if you don't fight them, you're a traitor. If you don't have these people, this is a weak little group of lawyers. If you see them in the street, they look like little twerps with glasses, look some little nerd. Mm-hmm. And you let these people come and take over your country through laws?
Well, I think also,
made up?
Yeah, I understand, and you're right, Bob. But when you call Congress and when you talk one-on-one with your representatives, I don't think it does any good to try to, for some people, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying there's some people who are going to call up and say, those darn Jews again are at it, you know? And that's what the ADL...
They call you Christians. They call
no, but listen,
Christians.
Hear me out, Bob. What I'm saying is that some people are going to call up and they're going to take a broad brush. And that backfires. That's what the ADL would love.
Exactly.
What I think you should do, because the ADL has bitten off far more than it can chew, with even members of Congress. As you know, Representative McCullough had her own bouts with them over Palestinian issues. And she was branded, and others have been branded, terrorists by the ADL because they decided they weren't going to go along with sanctions on Syria and on Palestine, all these additional sanctions. And so the ADL has a way of alienating itself. And if you could play up the ADL angle when you call and not make it a generic Jewish issue,
That's
think
fine.
You get more mileage. That's all I'm
Let
saying.
Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you follow me.
In St. Louis, there's a supposed Christian station, okay?
All right.
And they have talk show hosts, okay? There was two in particular that were on there that I guess had been on radio shows before. And they're supposedly Christian, but they're big, very big Zionists, which the whole station is, okay?
Right.
And I got on there before I really started picking up on all this stuff, but I could see the extreme bias towards Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on there, and Pat Buchanan, they were having an interview with Pat Buchanan. They put themselves off as right-wing, okay? But here's like an acid test for anybody, these so-called right-wingers. They were interviewing Pat Buchanan, and I got on there, and I was talking about Israel. I started to talk about Israel, and I asked them, he was talking about Israel, too. And I said to these two guys, I said, if there was a war between the United States and Israel, who would you be backing? And they just went to the break, you know. And then let me finish, though. They went to the break. They didn't answer it. They came back, and I was ready to pounce on these guys, and here's an example of what can happen. And they said, well, we would really both back Israel then. You know, you could call us martyrs, and you know, I was going to lay into them right there because there is no martyrs in the Old Testament. It's just the New Testament. That would only apply to Christians, so that shows you what idiots these people were who thought they were so smart. But they said, well, we would just be martyrs, and we'd be sacrificed for Israel then.
Oh,
I said to Pat, I got on there, I said, Pat, look at these guys. These are traitors. If this country went to war, and Pat said, well, I'm a Catholic, but we don't treat Israel that way. That's ridiculous. And about 2 months later, these guys were off the radio, not because, the radio was saying these guys were wrong. The only way they were wrong is that they transgressed too much this country's, listening audience.
Uh-huh. But Bob... it sounds to me like you've done your homework. What I think is basically, I have this powerful brochure at Truth Tellers. If we could just flood the staffers of Congress and offices of Congress with these brochures, It's very, very revealing. You know, these people in Washington are really kind of out of touch with reality, out of touch with the American people. And I briefly talked to a number of them, and they have a very simplistic idea of what this hate law is about. They say, well, this is just a bill to empower the federal government to help eliminate violent hate crimes in the state. They haven't given it any more thought than that.
Mm-hmm.
And if this attractive, powerful flyer, very easy to read, could be literally saturate Congress, especially beginning in the first days of January when they come back, it would get a lot of thinking going on there. And I do powerfully identify ADL. I don't go into the Jewish issue because I don't want to kind of open that can of worms, but I do identify ADL as the mastermind behind taking away freedom of speech and persecuting especially Christians throughout the world. So I think a top priority is to get those brochures now circulating, not only in Congress, but your state legislatures, because even today, even after the Philly 11 outrage 2 years ago, Utah has voted in a hate bill, and they're continuing to naively accept this premise of the ADL that hate crimes legislation basically only wants to eliminate violent hate crimes.
Let me ask you, do you have any information on, or could you talk about the origins of the ADL? And, you know, I'll get off the air here. I don't want to take up all your time. But
yeah, we'll get into that.
Could you explain the history of the ADL and stuff like that? Or would you have any material on this or can really
learn up? Yeah, I do. I have a video, an 80-minute video, which is now being shown on Google.
Ah.
It's called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians.
Right.
Go to Google, type in Ted Pike. You can sit back and get a real first-class education on the history of the ADL, all their hanky-panky, dirty laundry, all that kind of thing, leading up to their role in fomenting hate crimes legislation.
Well, now you're getting into a larger audience across America there.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, in fact, I have four videos which are all top in their category at Google right now. We've had, I don't know, 60,000, 70,000 people watching my videos at Google. And I should mention also that all these videos are available at Truth Tellers in DVD or VHS for $24.90 each.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also been some overtures to buy Google, I'm sure you're aware, and look at some of the people behind that. And I don't know if they're going to have to buy up the whole Internet, I guess, just to try to silence us from getting on these forums.
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
Well, my video, Why the Mideast, excuse me, Unholy Alliance, has 100% approval rating on Google.
Wow.
It's a tremendous outreach. Not only here in the United States, but people all over the world are getting the truth about hate laws and
have you sent Pastor John Hagee a copy?
Well, I sent him a pretty blistering rebuke several weeks ago for his tremendous apostasy in forbidding the name of Jesus in
Israel
conversations. He's founding a big organization called Christians United for Israel.
We talked about it. Yep.
And they won't allow Christians to use the name of Jesus in it.
Yep. Yep.
Well, this is great. So anyway, I just go to just reviewing this again. Go to Google and type in
Ted Pike.
Ted Pike, and then what?
Videos.
They have all kinds of videos there,
okay.
And you'll get the directions to all four of my videos.
It's pretty simple. Pretty simple, Bob.
Hey, I sure appreciate it. Hey, it's a great program.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Avenger. Keep
appreciate
it up.
Appreciate your call. Very
Thanks,
good call.
Ted.
You know, there's so much more to talk about, and right now we have a little bit of a lull on the line, so that's great. That gives us a chance to talk more, and we'll invite callers right now. Ted will be with us for a bit, I think probably right to the end of the program. So we have time for your call, 800-313-9443. I alluded to Professor Irving, you know, a while back. I actually spoke with him when he came to America a couple of years ago and had intended to try to bring him on a program. And let me tell you, he was very nervous when he spoke to me on the phone. And he basically almost denied his whole existence. And then I realized when I saw what happened to him in court in Austria, why he was so frightened to speak. Now,
yeah.
You know, this is the very thing that the World Jewish Organizations continually accuse the Nazis of is book banning and censorship and trial because of speech. And yet that is exactly what they have done successfully, as even the German army could not have accomplished, even the Third Reich.
That's right. You know, I've talked to some of these leaders in Canada, like Paul Fromm and Doug Christie, and they also are very much the victims of thuggery, as groups of these anarchistic bands come to their meetings and start to scream obscenities and vilifications and interrupt their meetings and so on. It's really much worse in Canada, but ADL, Benagra of Canada are behind these agitations. And David Irving, of course, wherever he goes, ADL is keeping a very, very close, or was keeping a close watch on his itinerary in order to disrupt his meetings.
Yes, very true. Okay, we'll pick up on that. Be right back with more. Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, uncensored radio, free America, only on rbnlive.com. Jump aboard. Rick Adams. We're with Ted Pike tonight, and we're talking about the bill yet has not been numbered, because it will be reintroduced undoubtedly in the new Congress, the 110th Congress, when they reconvene in January. And this bill really and truly may and possibly be modified, Ted, as you know, to try to make it look palatable and then to be part of another bill. This has always been the strategy that we've seen the ADL managers and their puppets employ, you see?
Yes. On the other hand, they're in such a position with vantage now that I don't think they're going to need to do much watering of that bill.
Unless the opposition grows more and more, which it will.
That's right. And they have a package there that they want. They've striven since 1998 to get it, and I think they feel that they can. But, yes, you're right. If there is any talk of compromise, you know, a few years ago, there was a very public statement by Orrin Hatch and others that they were going to vote for a modified hate bill.
Well, I
went into the so-called modifications of that hate bill. It was actually stronger than it was before. It was all rhetoric, all propaganda. They were able to sell it or attempt to sell it to Congress.
Well, again, as you point out, most of these congressmen don't read beyond the title of the legislation. And we've seen that in just about every major issue from the Patriot Act down. Of course, they weren't allowed to read that, but that's another story in itself. Let's go to the phones, 800-313-9443. We'll take Tom in Colorado. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Yes.
I was listening the other week to radio broadcaster Tex Mars, and he said in his program was on crypto Jews that masquerade themselves as being Christians or Muslim but are Jewish, like Howard Dean, you know. Well, Tex actually claimed that George Bush was a crypto Jew, that his grandparents were Jewish, and on a website, the Lubavitcher website, they had a picture of George Bush walking around the White House with a Talmud under his arm and going off with his rabbi to study the Talmud and so on. And then he said that he said Ted Pike had some information that a Roman emperor who had a Jewish wife was in fact, but he was a crypto Jew. Ted said that Tex Mars said this, and that he used to massacre Christians in huge numbers with these Colosseum type spectacles.
I'll tell you about that, Tom. Yes, the Emperor Nero began the first systematic persecutions of Christians. That occurred, of course, in 64 A.D. Nero's wife was Poppaea Sabina, who was an Orthodox, a very convinced Jewess. And Edward Gibbon, who, of course, is the great British historian, the author of the history of the fall and decline of the Roman Empire. He makes a claim very powerfully that Poppaea Sabina incited the Roman Emperor Nero to blame a relatively unknown sect, the Christians, for starting the fires of Rome, and then that led into the persecutions. It's interesting also that a descendant of Poppaea Sabina and Nero, a descendant of Nero, was the great Talmudic rabbi, Rabbi Meir, who's considered one of the greatest sages of the Talmud. So what we have there is evidence from one of the greatest historians of the Roman Empire that the blaming of the Christians may not have been an impulse on the part of Nero, but may well have been very much counseled by his Jewish wife.
Yeah, I did have one follow-up there, if you got time.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Well, on this Tex Mars, he had a three-tape set called The Sea of Blood, and on tape number two, he talks about these young Turks coming into power in Turkey around the time of World War One, and that the young Turks were all crypto-Jews. They weren't really Turkish. They weren't Muslim.
Right.
And that they got into power with the help of the Masonic lodges of Europe, which were trying to get rid of the Turkish Empire, have it all collapse, and then have the British take over and establish Israel, which all occurred. You know, Turkish Empire collapsed, here comes these young Turks. Well, they're part of this collapse, I guess. They get into power anyways, and they massacre, according to Tex Mars, somewhere between 1 and 2 million Armenian Christians. They have a huge genocide against these. And he claims he claims that these people were Jewish. And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting because he never did a follow-up on that. It was a couple of years ago. And now they have a European Union issue about Turkey joining.
Mm-hmm.
And France claims they're opposed because they're upset about this Armenian massacre of the Christians, and they want some apology or something from these Turkish, and it's a kind of an issue ongoing still, you know. And I was wondering if Ted Pike had any information about the young Turks being crypto-Jews.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. We have a break, though, Ted. Can you hold the answer?
Yes, I can.
All right, hold the answer right after the break, and then we'll continue. 800-313-9443. To get on the lines with Ted Pike of truthtellers.org, the once again proposed hate crimes bill of the year 2007 with much anticipation. We are continuing to expose it. I'll be right back. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, sounding the alarm. Stay tuned. Yes, we are, and we're on with Ted Pike. And once again, we are going to entertain your phone calls. I just wanted to mention once again also that we want you to continue to pray for and support RBN. If you can financially, then, as you know, the network can certainly use your help, and many of you have been doing yeoman work. You can get online and go right to our website, rbnlive.com, if you're not already listening there, and go to the home page and click on the donations, and then you can act accordingly. Pledges are welcome. Also, you can call during the business hours of the day, 800-724-2719. That's our number, 800-724-2719, and we'd be very happy to get your support. Now, Ted, did you want to respond to what Tom had brought up about the Turks?
Yes, I will. I'll just tell Tom basically what I know about this. Nesta Webster was highly acclaimed by Winston Churchill back in the 1920s in England. She was a world-class historian, and basically in her book, Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, she claims that Jewish Kabbalistic, Gnostic, and Kabbalistic influence permeated into Islam at a fairly early period and began to corrupt certain elements, introducing a revolutionary satanic element within Islam, and this began to fester in Palestine. There was a man there called the Old Man of the Mountain, or he was the leader of what was called the Assassins.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Crusaders came to Palestine, they came under his spell, and it took this secret Kabbalistic knowledge from a Muslim source into Europe, and then we have the beginning of taking over the craft guilds and masonry of Europe, and on, you see. But what she claims is that this secret Kabbalistic, demonic, satanic element has continued in Islam even to her time, And basically what happened in a nutshell was that this Masonic counter-Muslim reality, a revolutionary subversion, existed in Turkey. There were these crypto-Jews, kind of like the Muranos, who seemed to be Muslims, but they were called Dolims. They were Jewish subversive subversive elements within the Turkish Masonry, and they were responsible for instigating these terrible, terrible massacres against the Christians of Armenia.
Yes, and that all adds up. That does make a lot of sense. And today, you know that Israel and Turkey have a very special relationship and treaty. And, of course, as a matter of fact, when the Armenian genocide issue came to Congress in the last decade or so, and there was an attempt to memorialize it, guess which lobby was opposed to it?
Interesting.
The Israeli lobby. And here, with all of the talk of the Holocaust and so forth, I mean, it was so embarrassing that even many apologists for the Israeli lobby thought that was very crass, to say the least. And that's exactly what that is what they stand for. They stand for anything that benefits them, and they are opposed to anything that does not benefit them. And that's the simple reality of the situation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, Harry Truman got into a lot of trouble later because he, in his diaries, had recorded that very sentiment, as you probably know.
That's sure. That's right. Well, the Masonry worldwide is infused with Kabbalistic Judaic symbols. And the fountain, as I mentioned earlier on this program, for the whole world revolutionary movement goes back to the ancient Pharisees, Kabbalah, their mysterious revolutionary cosmology of the Kabbalah and so on, which considers the Goyim to be basically beasts and the Jews to be the Shekinah glory of God and earth, destined ultimately to rule the nation.
Yes, yes. Now, let me ask you this, because this obviously is a question that needs to be asked. With all of the controversy over the so-called Islamic fundamentalism, and we know that originated in Israel in the 1970s and 80s with the Likud movement, this war on Islam, what is your honest assessment, your view of the Quran?
Well, I'm not an expert in the Quran. I am quite popular in the Muslim world because I represent an evangelical Christian who is balanced and biblical and does not demonize Islam as the source of Antichrist. I find in rabbinic Pharisaic Judaism all the credentials, all the requirements for an Antichrist world system. And Islam contains elements of generosity to Christ and the Virgin Mary and Judaic culture and so on. Mm-hmm. But the Talmud is almost unremittingly hostile to the Goyim, hostile to Christ and Christianity and so on. And I do believe that Islam is a darkened world religion, and here we find this terrible, terrible conflict between the Sunnis and the Shiites going on literally to this very moment in Iraq in a way that, my oh my, how the Middle East could use the message of love and forbearance of the gentle Jesus who told us to love our enemies and to do good to those who despitefully use us. Yeah. That's the missing element, which is absent in Islam, it's absent in Judaism, and so we have these two worldly, darkened religions. I believe Judaism is worse, but they're both going at each other in the most terrible and destructive way.
Yeah, and it is also important to distinguish a very, very vital fact here, and that is when we speak of the Middle East, and particularly Lebanon, other countries, up until recently, there were large pockets of Christianity and Arab, particularly Arabic Christians, I'm talking about. And now, with what Israel has done with the invasion, all in the name of fighting the so-called Islamic cause of all of this, you know and I know that these policies of the Iraq war were in fact a success in the sense that they managed to destabilize the region even more. And that is what Israel had wanted right from the beginning, a total destabilization of the region.
That's
now we're seeing that resulting in the persecution of Christians, Christians driven out of Iraq and so forth.
Absolutely. And, of course, the wholesale persecution of Arab Christians began to really break out in 1948 with the Deir Yassin massacre, about 240 innocents in the sleeping town of Deir Yassin.
Deir Yassin, yeah.
Yeah, this sent terrible shockwaves through the Arab community there in Palestine, and 700,000 or 800,000 fled, several hundred thousand of which were Christians, were Arab Palestinian Christians, went off into the shanty towns of Georgia and the West of Jordan and the West Bank, and so on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a travesty, it's a paradox that evangelical Christians give unconditional support militarily and morally to Israel, and yet Israel has been responsible for terrible repression, even up to the recent war in Lebanon, where many, many Christians in Lebanon were the victims of Israeli firepower.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been able to find out where most of these so-called evangelical Christian leaders, you know, like John Hagee and others, would stand on this hate bill? Would they be lining up behind the ADL, or would they be not getting involved, ignoring it, waiting for the rapture, or would they take a stand against it, Ted?
Well, you know, speaking of Hagee, Arlen Specter is the head, of course, of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's a Jewish activist, and he is Mr. Hate Crimes Bill in the Senate. His former chief of staff, David Brog, who is a religiously conservative Jew and a politically liberal Jew, has been hired by Pastor John Hagee to head up this Christians United for Israel.
Oh, sure.
And in a recent statement, which was repeated in the Jewish Tribune, this David Brog, an anti-Christian Jew, is making a policy statement for Hagee and for Christians United for Israel, in which he says there will be no mention of the name of Jesus Christ, no evangelism allowed in the proceedings of this evangelical Christian organization.
Now, if that doesn't tell you how bankrupt Hagee is, what does?
Yes, yeah.
The whole purpose of the Bible and the apostles was to say, hey, we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus throughout the world.
That's right. And a terrible judgment is promised by the book of Revelation and others who do not continue to hold fast upholding and professing the name of Jesus in this world.
Absolutely. And, you know, the apostle himself said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ or the name. And I go into the temple to argue. You know, that was the whole mission, is that those who are ashamed shall be ashamed by the Lord on Judgment Day. And they will have to give account. Now, they've got their millions, and I'm sure people will say, well, Ted Pike's probably doing pretty good for himself, too. But I don't think that, Ted, even in your wildest dreams, you could ever manage to build an empire as John Hagee, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Robinson himself, John Robinson, and all the others who have done pretty well off this racket.
Well, the truth is that the great revolutions and movements of history have been made possible by very small minorities. You know the story of Gideon in the Old Testament.
Yep, Gideon's trumpet.
Whittled them down to only 300 proven warriors. And even our founding fathers, I understand it was something like 1% of the colonists were actually behind the war, a very infinitesimal number. And that's what we're doing today as I call out on talk radio to the Minutemen and Minutewomen that still exist in this country. I'm not expecting mass numbers, but in every broadcast, I pick up a few who will take up that phone and make a special pact with themselves to make those calls for a total of 7 weeks this winter at this decisive period in history.
Sure. Let's go over that once more, your strategy for this year, so those who have just joined us now might get a better idea of what they can do.
Yes, people need to come to truthtellers.org, and there I have the list of all the members of the new Senate and House of Representatives. And we have several toll-free numbers which are there at Truth Tellers. In case you don't have a computer, I'll just give those numbers to you again. They are 877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437. And a backup number is 866-340-9281. Again, that number to all members of Congress is 866-340-9281. And I'd like folks to make a decision that for a total of 7 weeks, for only one call a day, you will call into Congress either before you go to work or during your lunch break. And once you get the first member there of the Senate at Truth Tellers, you'll deliver this simple message. Please don't vote for any hate bill. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and most European countries. Again, that two-liner message, please don't vote for any hate bill. Hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and most European countries. Now, once you've delivered that message, don't hang up, but you can ask to be transferred to the next senator or member of Congress on the list. And in about 15 minutes, you can leapfrog from one to the other and deliver about 15 of these powerful messages. And over a period of 7 weeks, which is most of is January and 1 week in February, we can saturate the entire Congress of the United States with a strong statement that we protest this freedom-stealing legislation. Now, we have only 3 days or so left here in this week before Congress disbands, but people are telling me they're already on the phones calling back there, letting them know, even before they go home for the Christmas vacation, how they should react when they get back. But the main calling, long-term calling, will begin on January 3rd and should continue for the entire month and at least through the first week of February.
Excellent. Okay, well, I mean, that's what people need to do. And, you never give up and you never quit calling them. And calling them on the carpet, too. Remind them of how important it is right now for them to defend the Bill of Rights. And right now, that's what the Democrats are hanging their hat on with opposition to George Bush. So here's an added argument that should be advanced, is that you're all for civil rights, you say, and you're all for guarding our constitutional right to speech and criticize the Bush administration and not be called haters. Well, there's another reason that you don't want to support a so-called hate crimes bill.
Absolutely. And in the second prong of this attack is to come to Truth Tellers, print out a brochure there. It's a front and a back on 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. Just print it out, cut out the two pieces and paste them together. Take them to your copy shop. And for probably less than a dime a piece, you can have a powerful brochure. We need to just absolutely inundate Congress, especially with these brochures this winter.
Right, right. And to the earlier caller who mentioned the history of B'nai B'rith and ADL, is that something that you have an explanation of on your website or your videos or books?
Yes, I have many articles on ADL, B'nai B'rith, but probably the fastest way to do it is just come to Google and watch my video there, 80-minute video, Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians.
Right, right. Are you updating any videos now or producing a new one on these subjects, Ted?
Well, I'm not actually producing a new video right now. I'm just doing a lot of writing. I'm finding writing on the Internet and talk radio are the fastest way to get the truth out right now.
Right, right. Okay, well, that's fine. The videos are certainly useful in cable TV programs, though, as well, as you know.
Yes.
And they have produced a lot of response and education. So I want to thank you for being with us again tonight. You've been on a lot of programs on our network, and a lot of people are hearing this over and over again, and they're with you. A lot of people are hearing it for the first time. The main thing is getting the message out. And well, I appreciate it, Ted. And we'll be hearing from you again soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And in case we don't talk to you, have a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Can
Good
I
night.
Say that now? Can I say that? Or am I going to be charged with hate?
Okay. Yeah, I'll die for your right to say that.
I know you will, and I'll probably be right next to you. Okay. Good night, Ted.
Good night.
All right. Well, that's the way it is. You know, we know what persecution is like. Christians certainly know that, don't they? All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be addressing some other issues and reminding you about our planned guest tomorrow night. Stay with me. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Be right back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. And just to round out the program tonight, I just wanted to remind you, tomorrow night we have scheduled Dr. K, as he calls himself, has written the book, Wrongly Blamed. Who really carried out the attacks of 9/11? Where does the evidence lead? The London bombings all over the globe and in Egypt as well. Who has been responsible for these attacks? The story that has not been revealed by any of the mainstream propaganda media. Well, he's done a yeoman job, and we're going to give away a copy of his book in the first hour and also one in the second. And we really encourage people to order the book because it is an absolute eye-opener, and it is going to be a very simple, easy, basic read for you and your friends to introduce them to the topic. All right? So just remember that now. I think you'll find that to be fascinating. That's tomorrow night on the program. And then we have scheduled Joel Skousen to be on Thursday night for an hour, for the first hour. And we hope to be able to have him live with us then. We've been covering a lot of ground, as you know. We've been dealing with a lot of subjects. And this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. We're hoping and praying that the Lord has tarried and given us time to continue to bring about discussion of subjects that, you know, you haven't gotten anywhere else. And that is something we have been doing in a yeoman fashion here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I again beckon you to support RBN, get on and buy many of the products and also Republic Trading, as you know, online, to support this this little forum here that's growing. It's not so little anymore. And, of course, it's it. I mean, that's where the action is. I have a facility where you can get some truthful information, have an opportunity to debate and discuss these issues as nowhere else, my friend. Right? The CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, now is coming under increasing scrutiny all across the Internet, all across the political spectrum. More and more people who are in the know are finally beginning to wake Americans up as to what this CFR, this council, is all about. After two world wars, the insanity of them, and all of the wars that followed, and now worldwide war once again looming, we need to know who is ultimately responsible for it. Robert Gates, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Huntington, people like Paul Wolfowitz, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice. Isn't it interesting? All of them tied into the Council on Foreign Relations. That's something we'll talk about during the week, so don't miss out on this discussion. I'm Rick Adams, your Radio Avenger, thanking you for joining us tonight. Join us again tomorrow.